Today's daf is Sukkah daf Lamed Vav. We left off on Lamed Hey Amud Beis about 12-13 lines before the end of the page. Today we're going to talk a lot more about the various psulim of an esrog. First, we're going to talk about the chazazis, if it has a discoloration on two or three different places of the esrog, even on miuto of the esrog, that's considered to be menumar and it's pasul. We're going to talk about the rules of a hole in an esrog. We're going to have a shaila and an attempted raya about an esrog that has simani trefa, which is a fascinating tzustel that the Gemara makes between the halachas of esrog and the halachas of trefos. We're going to talk about an esrog kushi. We're going to talk about tiny esrog to use for dalad minim, whether they can be used for dalad minim, and whether they are chayv and maisos, whether it has a din of a pri at all. And then on Amud Beis, we're going to talk about shaping an esrog in a mold to make a uniquely shaped esrog. And we're going to learn how Rabbi Chanino, before he would be yotzei the mitzvah of esrog, he would take a bite out of his esrog, and why that was okay to do. And we're going to have the minimum size of the esrog machlok, as we have about the minimum size of an esrog, matches a different machlok about avanim ukrizalos, about the stones that they used to use to wipe themselves in the bathroom, and then a note about the maximum size of an esrog, and then we get on to the next Mishnah, Alam Vavim Beis, which talks about the binding of the lulav, what you can use to bind the lulav. And we're going to have a unique shita of Rabbi Yehuda, that you have to bind the lulav with the min of the lulav, but we associate that with a different shita of Rabbi Yehuda, which is a unique shita that you can only make a sukkah out of Dalid Minim Shebelulav. We're going to prove from that sheet of Rabbi Yehuda how to define what's called the Min Shebelulav. So let us begin. We are at the two dots. Olsa Chazazis on Lamed Hey Amud Beis. Amar of Chista, Davrza Rabbeinu Agadol Amar Amak Miya Be'ezro. This is something that Rabbeinu Agadol said, the Ribbono Shalom should help him. Lo Shanu Al B'makom Echad, Al B'Shnayim U'Shloshim Mekamos Kasher. That when do we say that if it's Olsa Chazazis, that if it has boils or a discoloration that covers the majority of the Esrog, that it's possible, that's only if it's in one spot. But if it's in two or three different spots, then it's Kasher. Amle Rava Adaraba Bishnaim Shoshim Mekamos Avlik Menumar or Puzzle. What are you talking about? If it's in two or three different spots, that's much worse. That makes it Menumar. That makes it a spotted esrog. That should for sure be Puzzle. Eli Itmar Asefa Itmar. So he said, no, we're putting this comment on the wrong part of the Mishnah, not on the Olsa Chazazis Al Rubo Puzzle. What it should go on is where we then say Al Miuto Kasher, that if there are boils on the minority of the esrog, it's Kasher. And Omer Avchista Dover Zerab. Rabbeinu Agadol Amrav Amakom Yabezro, that this is something Rabbeinu Agadol said, and the Ribon Shom should help him, that Lo Shanu El B'makom Echad, Avul B'Shnayim U'Shloshu Mekomos, Havalei K'menumar U'Pasol. When do we say that if it covers only the minority of the esrog, it's kosher? That's only if it's one spot that has a boil on it. But if it's two or three different spots, even though it's only covering a minority of the esrog, it's going to be considered menumar, and therefore it's going to be pasul. Amar Rava ve'alchotma v'afilu b'mashu nami pasul. If it's on the chotam of the esrog, so we're much more sensitive about the chotam of the esrog, the top part of the esrog, so even b'mashu, it's going to be pasul on the chotam of the esrog. You don't even need two or three different spots on the chotam of the esrog. The Rishonim, the Ritva, and the Raivan al-Chasulav point out that Dafka of the Chazazis is in two or three spots, and it's Mufuzar Berov HaEsrog O Bekulo, then it's possible even though it only covers a minority of the Esrog, meaning it has to at least, if you were to connect all the spots, cover the larger area, the majority of the Esrog, even though where the Chazazis actually is only a minority of the Esrog. But if the Chazazis is on the Miut of the Esrog, even if it's Mufuzar in different places, but if you were to connect all the different places, it would still be a minority of the esrog. Then it's kosher, because they point out that if you were to have one big boil that covers a minority of the esrog, that's for sure kosher. If you were then to take away pieces of that boil somehow, if you were to imagine a lesser boil that was therefore mefuzer into two or three different spots, but it's so that can't be worse. It can't be worse if you have less of a boil. So it has to be that when we say that if it covers covers a miut of the esrog, it could still be possible because of menumar. That's only if it's the actual surface of the esrog. It's only on a miut of the actual surface of the esrog, but it's in enough different spots around the esrog that if connected, it would cover the majority of the esrog. That's what the Rishonim point out over here. However, the Ritzgeus in Hilchos Lulav says even if the Chazaz is mefuzer in different places over the miut of the esrog, it would still be possible because menumar, having it blotchy, having it spotted, is fundamentally worse than having one large area of psul. The Gemara says that if it's menumar would mean b'shnayim v'shlosha mekamos, in two or three different places. So Kes Mishnah, the eighth paragraph of Hilchos Lulav, asks the obvious question, just like we ask when the Torah says pishnayim edim v'shlosha edim. Why do we have to say shlosha if you already have shnayim? So Kes Mishnah says if b'shnayim mekamos it's possible. So of course b'shlosha mekamos can be possible. Why does it have to say three different mekamos? So Achronim have a whole bunch of different answers to deal with this question. The Taz in Tafresh Memches Siv Katan Yudal, it says that if we would have just said in two different places, we might have thought that even if the distance between the Chazazios is a Chuta Sa'ara, it would become possible. So that's why it has to tell us in three places, to say that the distance between the two spots, in order for it to be Menumar, has to be that there would be enough room for a third spot in between them. Only then is it Menumar. But if it looks like to the naked eye, like one spot, and you look closely and you see there's a chura sa'ara of regular esrog in between, so that's not enough to make it menumer. So it's actually teaching us a chiddush lahalacha according to the Taz. The Prima Gadim just points out, so what's the shear exactly between one spot and the other to make it menumer? So he says he's not sure what would define the shear. What do you mean room for another spot? For how large of another spot? It's not abundantly clear from the Taz what that means. The Prisha suggests a little differently. He says that the chiddush of the Gemara is that even if the chazaz is in three different places, it still has to be mufuza berubo in order to apostle, meaning that itself is a chiddush. One might have thought that if you have a chazaz is in three different places, so then it wouldn't have to cover the majority of the esrog to apostle, that even in the minority of the esrog would apostle, meaning working off of the shittos and rishonim we said before, that it's only psul menumar if it's on such different spots around the esrog that it would cover the majority. One might have thought that once it's three, you don't even need that. Karban Asana suggests, based on Tosfos and Daf Beis and Beis, that the Gemara means to say that Shnayim Shloshav Afilu Tuva, it's Kedamri and Shi, it's just an expression that it could be two, three, however many spots, as long as it's on the minority of the Esrog. Even though it's only on the minority of the Esrog, it's going to be possible. That's just the way that people happen to speak. To let you know that we're not saying a dafka the number two. It's not specifically about the number two. Sfasemis just points out that in Rav Chista's original statement that b'shnayim u'shlosha mekamos it's kosher, so then three is a greater chiddush than two. So it makes sense to say three. Once we fix Rav Chista's statement, so we don't have to change all of his words, meaning eino chinami, the way we actually fix it up, where two or three spots makes it menumer and is possible. Okay, so then so eino chinami, at that point three is no chiddush at all, because two is already possible. But since we had it that way already from the original presentation of his statement, so that's why we keep it that way. And the final approach, the Ar Sameach suggests that Hadar is not, and this is a theme in the Ar Sameach throughout our Sugya, the Ar Sameach points this out in many spots in the Sugya, that Hadar is not a Dover Mukhlat. Hadar is, beauty is not something that's absolute and objectively defined. The Mashi Yeshlo Hadar Shebineim Nikra Hadar, meaning whatever, everything is relative to the other Esrogim, the most beautiful one is the other one. The prettiest monkey in the zoo is the prettiest monkey. So that's, if you have ugly Esrogim, so the most beautiful one is now your Hadar, now it now becomes your Idis. So he says, if you only have two Esrogim, one of them has two Chazazios, and one of them has three, you could be Yotze with one that only has two Chazazios, because Klape, that one, the Klape, the one that has three, the one with two Chazazios, is Hadar. So that's quite a Chiddush that the Ar Sameach suggests, that this is not an objective psul. This is just because it lacks hidur. It's menumar is a lack of hidur, and lack of hidur is a very relative term to use. Now, the Chassam Sofer famously points out over here also a fascinating insight that which we find in Chol HaMoed, that an esrog becomes menumar very often because people are touching it all day on Yontif, and especially they used to hand around their esrogim from one person to the next, and sometimes it becomes niklaf a little bit in certain places from the outermost layer of skin, and that makes it menumar. He says, "Umi yodea imhu mimara esrog." It can't be that it's that an esrog is going to still look normal after a few days of yatif. It's always going to look a little bit menumar. He says, nevertheless, it's kosher. That is the beauty of an esrog, to show that it's used, machmas kiyum a mitzvah, that's what it became. Not that you pulled it off a tree that way, or that you just were too cheap to look for a nice esrog. You found a beautiful esrog, and then you used it the way an esrog is supposed to be used it for the mitzvah. That's the ultimate hider, to use it in such a way. He says the raya to this is Pesachim Samachayim and Beis, where the Gemara says that it's a shevach to the Zaro Shel Aaron, that they would be holy chalda krovoseim bedam, that they would walk knee high in blood, and that was normally if a Kohen were to come into the Beis HaMikdash, walking in blood with blood stained feet, and it would be a big chutzpah. Hakriveinu lepach hasechel, would you ever go in front of a governor like that? But when it comes to when that came about because we were so busy serving a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and it came about as a result of the avoda, so then it's considered a wonderful thing. It's considered to be a hider mitzvah in its own right. So that's another type of hider mitzvah, not just a hider in the chefta shel mitzvah, but when the chefta shel mitzvah actually becomes uglier because you use it so well. It's like a well worn out gemara. That's the ultimate hider mitzvah. There was an unusual expression over here. The Gemara Rav Chisda says, quotes Rabbeinu Agadol, and then he comments, "Hamakom yeh be'ezro," that the Ribbono Shalom should help him. So what did Rabbeinu Agadol do? That Hamakom yeh be'ezro, that the Ribbono Shalom has to help him. So in the Pnine Halacha section of the Masifta, he quotes in the back from the Sefer Divrei Shalom that there are two halachos binogeya to mentioning the name of a tzaddik that we learn out from the Pasuk Mishlei from Zecher Tzaddik Lavracha. One is to let his tzidkus be known, it's a shevach of the tzaddik, to let it be known how great he is, like by Noach, when the Torah mentions him, we say that he was a tzaddik tamim, the Torah says. So we mention the shevach of a tzaddik when we mention his name. That's one kiyum of Zecher Tzaddik Levracha. The other kiyum of Zecher Tzaddik Levracha is to give a bracha to the tzaddik, to, just like Hashem was Mevarich Avram when he mentioned his name. So we have to give a bracha to a tzaddik when we mention the name of the tzaddik. So he says, that's what's going on in our sugya. Rabbeinu Agadol Amar, Hamakom Yeh Be'ezro, is the second kiyum of Zecher Tzaddik Levracha. It is giving a bracha to him while mentioning his name. So that's why we say when we quote an Adam Gadol, we'll often say Shalita. That's a bracha that you should be zocha to Chaim Tov Maruchim. That's the derech to always after the name of a chacham. You find in the Rishonim they have Sheyichya when they quote someone else, or Yud Sadivav, which means Yishmereu Tzureinu V'Yikaimeu, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu should guard him and should hold him up. And someone who doesn't add that bracha, he says it shows that you're not interested in being mevarich, which is the equivalent of a klala. He then discusses what about he points out that in the Tshuvas Mari Mintz, actually, he quotes from Rabbi Shaya Pick in his Hakdama to She'ila Shalom on the She'iltos. He writes a whole hisnatzlis. He writes a whole long excuse of not so long, but a whole excuse as to why he doesn't write Zal or Zatzal after he mentions the names of Talmidei Chacham. He says, it's very expensive to publish, and every letter I'm charged by the letter, so I keep writing Zal and Zatzal. It's going to cost a lot of money, but it's not because I don't think it's appropriate to write Zal and Zatzal. You should write these things. But he says, when the Torah mentions that when people mention Moshe Rabbeinu, we never mention Moshe Rabbeinu or Aaron HaKohen as Zecher Tzaddik Levracha. Sometimes you don't even need to because it's so understood, they're so great, etc., etc. So that's the discussion they have over here. But that's what a Makom Yeh Be'ezro is. There's also a discussion in the poskim whether a Makom Yeh Be'ezro is something you would say about a living Talmud Chacham or something you would say about a dead Talmud Chacham. So the Bach in our sugya says is magia, and he says he can't be goreis amrle Rav l'Rav Chista, that he was said on Rav that he was makam yeh be'ezro. It has to be amar Rava, and that's what the Aruch Haner says as well, because they say that the bracha of a makam yeh be'ezro is only shaykh to a living person, that you should ask that Kodesh Baruch Hu should continue to help him in all that he does. It's not shaykh for a dead person. Rava was born on the day that Rav Yehuda died, and he was a Talmud of Rav, so it turned out that Rava never was living when Rav was alive. So he couldn't have spoken to Rav Chista when Rav Chista said about Rav, HaMakom Yeh Be'ezro. Rava couldn't have been part of that conversation when he said about Rav, when Rav Chista said about Rav, HaMakom Yeh Be'ezro, because Rav would have had to have still been alive, and Rav and Rav didn't overlap in this world. So that's how the Aruch Liner suggests that this is but that assumes that this is only a bracha for someone who's alive. The Acharon point out that the Aruch Liner himself writes in Binyan Sion the lashon of HaMakom Yeh Be'ezro on the Chassam Sofer in the year Tafresh Yud Gimel, and that was well after the Chassam Sofer died. So the Shitasa was a little strange that he would use that same phrase HaMakom Yeh Be'ezro in his own tshuvas about the Chassam Sofer, and the Chassam Sofer is still alive. When the Chassam Sofer is dead, when he yields that the phrase HaMakom Yeh Be'ezro should only be when somebody's still alive. Okay, that's a little off topic, but let's get back. So Niklaf, Nitla Pitamasa rather. We had mentioned that if the Pitam is removed, the Alachs of Pitam being removed, so Tanur of Yitzchak ben Elazar, Nitla Bochanto. The Pitam is the part of the Esrog that looks like a pestle. So the Rashi has two deos of what that is. Either it means what we call the Pitam, or it means part of the bottom, part of the Ukats, that the Ukats is split into two different parts, and the part that enters the cavity of the Esrog is called the Pitmaso. So Rashi rejects that second explanation when he says Lo matzina b'kol makom pitma ukatz. We never find anywhere else that pitma means the ukatz. So most likely it means on the top of the esrog. Niklaf, if the esrog is peeled, Amar Rava, hay esroga de iglid ka ahina sumka. If you have an esrog that's peeled and it looks like a red date, ksheira, it's still going to be kosher. Va'anantana niklaf pasul. But the Mishnah doesn't say that. The Mishnah says that a peeled esrog is pasul. Says Ma lo kasha. Habikula habimiktsasa. It depends if it's peeled partially or peeled entirely. Which is which? Which one is kosher? Which one is pasul? So Rashi says bekula is kosher. That if it's entirely peeled, it's kosher. But if it's bimutzasa, then it's menumar. Then it's not one consistent color, and that's much worse. We prefer the esrog to have one consistent color. The Rabbeinu Chananel is quoted by Tosus over here as saying the opposite. Rabbeinu Chananel pirush ibcha bekula pasul dilatrefus medami la bishmaitin. We're about to compare esrog to trefus, and v'gabi trefus that the halacha by trefus is that if it's entirely peeled off, the lungs are entirely peeled, then it's no good. But if there's a little bit left, so then we assume it could go back to health, and therefore it's going to be kosher. So if that's the halacha by trefus, and we compare halachas of esrog to halachas of trefus, so it's going to be the same thing by an esrog, that if it's partially peeled by an esrog, so it's like there's still hope for it, and therefore it's going to be kosher. But if it's entirely peeled, then it's going to be possible. That's the machlokas, Rashi Rabbeinu Chananel. We'll come back to that in a moment, though. Let's see the Gemara further. Nistak Nikev. If it's cracked or it's punctured, Tani Ula Bar Chanina, Nikev Nekev Mefulosh B'mashu, V'sheinu Mefulosh B'ki'isr. When the Mishnah said that if you have a Nekev, you have a hole in the Esrog, but it's not Chasar at all, there's nothing missing from the Esrog itself, that's Kosher. So how big of a hole do we allow when it's not Chasar? So if it's a Nekev Mefulosh, it goes through and through from one end of the Esrog to the other end, then B'mashu, then even a Mashu is a problem. V'sheinu Mefulosh B'ki'isr. But if it's not a Nekev Mefulosh, it's a hole that doesn't go all the way through the Esrog, and it's not chaser, so up until the size of a coin called an isar is permissible. By Rava, nol du esrog simane trefa mahu. What if the esrog has simane trefa? What we would consider a trefa in an animal. What if you find those same discolorations and those same problems on an esrog? So my coming by lay, what kind of simane trefa is he asking about? In niklaf tanina. If he's talking about peeled, we already discussed peeled. In nistak, if he's talking about cracked, tanina, we already discussed that. In nikav, if he's talking about that there's a puncture in it, tanina, we discussed that as well. No, Shaila must be like Ulam Rabbi Yochanan says, that Reah Shenishbacha Kikiton Kshera, that if you have a lung that pours out like a pitcher, so that's going to be kosher. But that's only if the bronchial tubes are still there, so then the lung is not going to be a trefa, just because it's pouring out the liquid. Trefa, but the implication is that if the bronchial tubes are not there, then it's going to be a trefa. So, hachamai, what about by an esrog? Dilma hasamu d'loshal be'avira hadabari. Maybe over there we say that when the bronchial tubes are still there, it's not a trefa because it's not exposed to the atmosphere, it's not exposed to any air, so therefore it might get back to health. Aval hacha d'loshal be'avira, but over here where it's exposed to the outside atmosphere, sruche mesrachas, it's only going to further rot, and therefore it's going to be a trefa by an esrog, it's going to be worse by an esrog. O dilma loshna, or maybe not, maybe it just doesn't make a difference. Maybe it's all the same. That's the shaila. When it's nishpach kareya, when it's similar to a lung, that's nishpach kareya. So Tashma, the Gemara says, let's bring a raya. Esrog tafuach, saruach, kavush, shaluk, kushi, lavan, umenumar, pasal. An esrog that's bloated, or that's rotted, or that's kavush, is soaked in vinegar, or shaluk, or it's cooked, or it's kushi, it's a black esrog, or it's a white esrog, or it's a spotted esrog, all those esrogim are pasal. Esrog ki kadur pasal. If you have an esrog that's shaped like a kadur, that's shaped like a ball, that's a round esrog, it's going to be pasal. V'yesh omrim af hatiyum. Some say even a twin esrog is a psul. Esrog haboser, if you have an esrog that's very tiny, Rabbi Akiva posel v'cham makshirin. Rabbi Akiva says it's posel, v'cham say it's kosher. Boser means it's katon kipula lovan. It's like the size of a bean, Rashi says. Godlo b'defus v'asa k'min beri acheres, posel. If it grows in a mold, and you therefore shape it, you make an esrog that looks like, I don't know, an apple or something, because you put it in a mold to grow into that shape, so then it's going to be posel. Katani mias, so why are we quoting all this? Because at the very beginning of this brisa, once we quote it, we're going to discuss everything it says in this brisa, but the reason we're quoting this is because we wanted to know about simane trefa in an esrog. So it said at the very beginning of the brisa, tafuach saruach, that if you have the bloated or rotted esrog, so my love tafuach mi bachutz v'saruach mi bifnim, doesn't that mean that it's tafuach on the outside and it's saruach on the inside, just like a lung shenishpacha kikiton, which would then have the same din of a lung that's nishpacha kikiton, and it says that it's pasul. So you see that the same trefa you have by a lung, you have that same problem when it comes to an esrog. Says Gemara, I'm sorry. No, you see that by a lung, whereas by a lung it's kosher dekaimi simfuna, that if the bronchial tubes are still intact by the lung, we have confidence that the lung could be chazal lebriuso, could become healthy again, and therefore it's going to be kosher. But by the esrog, it's going to be pasul. So says Gemara, lo idi v'idi mi bachutz. No, maybe when we say tafuach and saruach, it's all external issues. V'lo kasha had tafach havelgav del sarach had the sarach havelgav del tafach, and these are two different issues, tafach and sarach. They're just two different things that could be on the outside. It's not two ways of saying the same thing, two ways of saying rotted. One means that the skin is bloated a little bit, and one means that it's rotted. So they're two different descriptions, all about the external part of the esrog. But this does not tell us anything about the simani trefa of an esrog. So at the end of the day, the Gemara does not have an araya, it's an ibaya, it's a lo ifshita. So let's chazer over a little bit what we had over here. Rashi said, we had said that Rava raised a question about an esrog that has simani trefa. So what the halacha is. So Rashi said, niklaf, simani trefu hu dahainu ha-galuda, that we compare niklaf to galuda. And the Gemara said that an esrog that's iglid, that becomes totally red, is kosher. Ay, niklaf is pasul. So we had a machlokas, Rashi and Rabbeinu Chananel, what it meant when we said hambim tzasa habekula, right? That is an esrog that's partially peeled better or worse than an esrog that's entirely peeled. That was a machlokas between Rashi and Rabbeinu Chananel. So Soloveitchik points out, Sarach bir biyosod plukhtasam. What exactly are they arguing about? What are they arguing about when Rashi says that if it's bekula, it's kasher, b'muktasa, it's pasul, and Rabbeinu Chananel says, no, you got to look at the halachas of treifus. And just like by the halachas of treifus, once it's bekula, it's problematic, but b'muktasa, it's okay. So he says that Rashi probably holds that the psulei treifus, that mamish psulei treifus are not knowing by an esrog. Because what does treifus have to do with an esrog? Treifus is about illnesses in an animal where an animal doesn't stand a chance to survive, where it's going to die. An esrog's not dying, it's not alive in the first place. I mean, it's not shaykh simani treifus by an esrog. What it means is all of the things that would be an indication of an abnormality in the lung that would cause you to think that this animal is a treifa. In when you have such parallel abnormalities in the esrog, visual abnormality, meaning visually it looks like one of those abnormalities, it's a chisaron in the hadar of the esrog. But we then carry it over to the rules of hadar. But that's all it is. That such a shinui mara is a problem of hadar. So it turns out that's how Rashi would understand the Gemara. Niklef is a treifa and a behema, so niklef is going to be something that could take away the yidur of an esrog. How does it take away the yidur of an esrog? Well, we know the worst type of taking away the yidur is if it's menumar, if it's spotted. So we then apply the rules of esrog that menumar is worse than if it's than it's niklef. All we learn from treifas is the general concept that something that looks odd is gonna that would look odd in an animal looks odd on an esrog. That's all we take away from treifas. That's how Rashi understands. Rabbeinu Chananel and also the Rif and the Rambam and the Eighth Paragraph of Tzulov understand that the din esrog is completely the same as the din of a behema. That just like that there is actually a psul treifa by an esrog. That the Trumas Deshan explains why that would be the case. He says upsula mishum de sofa esrog lirkav bishvil kach. That just like the treif on a behemoth tells you that the animal would have died because of this, a psul treif on an esrog is a psul that tells you that this esrog would have rotted because of this discoloration, because of this problem. But that's a little bit difficult to understand. Is that really true that the esrog has a better chance to rot with the same problems that a behemoth would have a better chance to die? That really they're going to be 100% parallel to each other? Soloveitchik suggested a different approach. He suggested that a psul treif by a korban, we learn out from a Gemara in Temura, from three psukim, but the Rambam says that in the Parak Beis of Isurim Mizbeach, that a behema that has one of the treifels, it's asur ba'achila and it's asur l'gabi mizbeach because hakriveu na l'fachasecha yirtzcha yisopanecha. Would you ever bring such an animal as a gift to your governor, to your king, to someone that you wanted to impress? So why should you bring such a thing to the Ribbono Shel Olam? So the Ketz Mishnah wonders why the Rambam gives a different source than the Gemara, but bottom line is he does. He says that the psul of treifa is a psul of mios l'mitzvah, of hakriveinu na l'pachasecha. You can't bring something that's disgusting for a mitzvah. The Baal Amar says the reason the lulav ha-yavesh is possible for all 7 days of Sukkot is because yavesh, we have the same issue. Hakriveinu na l'pachasecha, would you ever bring a dried up, shriveled up little something to your governor, you would never do it. So the Baal Amar understands that psuli karban mitam mius lahakrava are derived from akriveu nalafachasecha, and that's shaykh by dalaminim. Also, we have the same concept by dalaminim, just like he says esrog hayavesh. We would have that same concept of akriveu nalafachasecha. So that's what the psul treifa must be in the eyes of Rabbeinu Chananel and the Rambam. That just like a treifa is possible because of akriveu nalafachasecha, by an esrog you have those same psulei treifa because it's considered mius lemitzvah. This fits very well with the sheet of the Ritva that we've mentioned earlier, that the psul of mitzvah baba avera is only nogea to things that are mitzvahs of ritzui, that are things that we come l'ratzos HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So where we have mitzvah baba avera? By korban and by lulav. Meaning that it's all about ritzui. So it's hakriveinu na l'pachasecha is the biggest psul. We're coming to be meratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what do? We're going to bring something that's ugly, that's disgusting. So that's the psul. So the Baal Amar writes, the psul of hakriveinu na l'pachasecha is knowing for all 7 days of Sukkot. It's just like, and that's why yavish is possible, because hakriveinu na, it's knowing for all 7 days. So any psul that's stam, one of the psulim in the Dalaminim, are knowing only on Yom Rishon. Any din of Hadar or any of those other, But a psul of mius of hakrivyan al pachasecha, that midin karban shebo, that's going to be possible for all 7 days. That doesn't fit the Rambam perfectly, because the Rambam in the 8th parak of Hilchos Lulav says that all of the psulim mipnei mumin shebiyarnu megezel geneva and all the other different mumin of an esrog is all the psul only on day one, not on the rest of the days of yantiv. So he includes in those psulim all the trefos that we mentioned over here that are only possible on day one. But that could be the Rambam of Salvech points out, that's the Rambam l'shitaso, that psulim of gezela geneva are only a possible on yantiv rishon, even though the Rambam says mitzvah baba vera is the soda of the psul is also miyus the mitzvah. So you see the Rambam holds that whatever is a psul of miyus the mitzvah is also for whatever reason only noheg on Yom Tov Rishon. So that's maybe the mahalich over here, that the psul de trefa relates to hakrivei na lepachasecha, which is din of miyus the mitzvah, just like the psul de trefa by a karban. Okay, so the Gemara, further in the Gemara, now we're going to take apart this brisa that we just quoted piece by piece. Amar Mar, so we had said in this brisa, esrog kushi pasul. We had said that a black esrog is pasul in this brisa. Iva tanya kushi kasher domel kushi pasul. But then we learn in another brisa that a kushi is kasher and domel kushi is pasul. So says Gemara two answers. Amar Abai kitran masnisim domel kushi tanan. When the brisa says that a kushi is pasul, it meant domel kushi. It didn't mean that an actual Ethiopian esrog. It meant that a black esrog is pasul. That's all it meant. Rava amar lo kasha halan v'haluhu. Rava said, no, the difference is who we're talking about. For Bnei Eretz Yisrael, it's possible because they don't normally have black esrogim. But in Bavel, where it was more common to have these black esrogim, where it wasn't such an uncommon sight, so then it's going to be kosher. So it all depends on what you're used to. And this is, again, the Arsameach points out, this is, Hadar is something you see clearly, that Hadar is not a davar mukhlat. It's not just an objectively defined term. It's totally on the Das Bnei Adam. It's totally on where you are. So in Eretz Yisrael, a kushi is not Hadar. In Bavel, a kushi is hadar, because it all depends on what you're used to. Something that looks abnormal is not hadar, but something that looks normal for your place where you are is hadar. Esrog aboser, so the Brisa also spoke about an esrog aboser, if you have a very tiny esrog, so Rabbi Akiva posel v'cham makshir, Rabbi Akiva said it's posel, v'cham said it's kosher. Amar Rabbah, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shimon, Amru Dover Echad. Rabbi Akiva, who says that it's posel, holds like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Akiva hadam, and Rabbi Akiva in the context of esrog aboser, not being able to be used for dalad minim, and Rabbi Shimon, mayhi, where do we find Rabbi Shimon having a problem with a tiny esrog? Ditnan, because the Mishnah says, Rabbi Shimon poter es esrogim bekotnan. Rabbi Shimon holds that very tiny esrogim are pater from meiser. So it must be that Rabbi Shimon holds that a very tiny esrog is not an esrog, just like Rabbi Akiva holds a very tiny esrog is not an esrog. It's just like Rabbi Akiva was talking midine dalad minim, that you're not allowed to use a very tiny esrog for dalad minim. And Rabbi Shimon wasn't talking in terms of dalad minim, he was talking in terms of maestros, that it's not chayvin maestros, it's too tiny to be chayvin maestros. So you see that they say exactly the same thing. Amrle Abaye Dilma Lohi. Abaye says, no, maybe the two are not exactly parallel. Why? Two possibilities. Adkan lokam Rabbi Kiva hachad bin hadar veleka. Avlasim krabban and svirle. Rabbi Kiva only says over here that you require hadar, and you don't have hadar over here. But over there, maybe he holds like the Rabbanan, meaning what's the problem with the tiny esrog? Not that it's not an esrog. It's an esrog. It's a fruit. It's everything. It's just not hadar. And by dalad minim, you need hadar. But by maestros, there's no din of hadar. It just needs to be a fruit. So maybe Rabbi Kiva would not agree to Rabbi Shimon. Inami, on the flip side, Ad kan lokam Rabbi Shimon asam el duksiv aser ta aser es kol tvo asar echa, kederach shubnei adam otzin lezriya. Maybe dafka by maestros, there's a din that something's only chayv in maestros. So if it's the type of thing that you would be motzi lizria, that you would take out to plant, so it has to be a respectable looking fruit, it's something you want to duplicate, that you would say, oh, that's a good one, we should replant that one and see what else it could produce. But maybe when it comes to dalaminim, it just needs to be an esrog. It doesn't have to be something that you want to be zoreya. So maybe Rabbi Shimon would not be motzi to Rabbi Akiva. So v'sulamidi, nothing else to say. Then that's pretty clear that Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva are not necessarily taloi zeh bozeh. Says the Gemara further. Now the Bryce had mentioned Godlo b'tefus vaso k'min beri acheres puzzle, that if you grow the esrog in a form and in a mold and it now looks like something else, so then it's going to be puzzle. So says Maram Rav Lo Shanu El Kamin Bar Yacheres Al Kabriaso Kasher. What if you make a perfect esrog mold with all the right bumps and everything, and you grow it in a mold to create the perfect esrog? You want it to grow into the perfect esrog, so that's kasher. That would be okay. You just can't, as a shtick, decide that you're gonna make an esrog that's gonna grow and is gonna going to look just like an apple. It's going to just look like a cluster of grapes or something, because that's ridiculous. But to make it look like an esrog, that's okay. So it's going to pshita k'min b'riyacher. It's not. Of course, it's only if it looks like something else. That's what it said in the Braisa. The Braisa said if you mold it to look like something else, it's possible. So of course, if you mold it to look like an esrog, that's fine. Says Melatricha David Dapi Dapi. Now, what if it looks sort of like an esrog, but it has protrusions on even protrusions around the whole surface of it? So one might have thought that that's a psul, but the Bryce is telling me that the addition that Rav is telling me is that it's not a psul, even though it doesn't look exactly like an esrog anymore, but it also doesn't look like a cluster of grapes or an apple or anything. So that's going to be okay. That's going to be kosher. Itmar esrog shenikvu achbarim. If you have an esrog that achbarim that mice bit into, so Amrav ein ze hadar. Rav says so it's not hadar, so it's no good. Rabbi Chanina used to dip his esrog, take a bite out of it, and then be yotzei the mitzvah with such an esrog. So how could you say with nikvu achbarim it's a problem? Here Rabbi Chanina himself took a bite out of the esrog, and apparently that was okay. So says Rabbi Chanina kashem esnisin. Rabbi Chanina's got bigger problems than nikvu achbarim. He's got a problem that's against the Mishnah. The Mishnah said if it's chaser kol shuhu, it's possible. It's probably chaser if he took a bite out of it. It's obviously chaser if he took a bite out of it. So what's he going to do with the Mishnah? So says, well, now that's not a problem. Mishnah masnis and Rabbi Chanina lo kasha. The Mishnah is not a problem for Rabbi Chanina. Can be Yom Tov Rishon, can be Yom Tov Sheni, because the chaser kol shu is only a problem on Yom Tov Rishon. And Rabbi Chanina wouldn't take a bite out of it on Yom Tov Rishon. He waited till the second day of Yantiv till he took a bite out of his esrog that he planned on using for the mitzvah. So that's not a problem. El Larav kasha. But the difficulty is according to Rav, meaning if Rabbi Chanina took a bite out of it, so how can you say that it's not hadar if Achbarim took a bite out of it? What's the difference if an achbar took a bite out of it or if a person took a bite out of it? So Amalecha Rav would answer you, Shiny achbarim demi'isi. No, there is a difference. Achbarim are disgusting. People aren't disgusting. So it's not hadar when mice ate into it, but it still is hadar when a person ate from it. Ikeda Amri Amar Rav, Zeh hadar. Another version of the conversation is that Rav didn't say Ein Zeh hadar. No, Rav said Zeh hadar. Don't worry about it. Mice took a bite out of it. It's perfect. It's hadar. Darbi Chanina Matpil Bav Nafik Bav. My raya is look what Rabbi Chanina used to do. He used to take a bite out of it, and that was fine. Rabbi Chanina Kasher Masnis and Iber Rabbi Chanina is against the Mishnah. Look, Kasher Kam Yom Tov Rishon Kam Yom Tov Sheni. Rabbi Chanina is not against the Mishnah. It's between Yom Tov Rishon and Yom Tov Sheni. The Ran and the Ritva and the Meiri all point out that Rabbi Chanina was Yotzei only if he still had rov of an esrog that was still in place. If he would eat, once he got to the majority of the, he could have taken a bite out of it every day, because by day 7, there would have been not enough left. You would need rov of the esrog to be kayim in order for it to still be called an esrog. The tour in Tafresh Mem Tes says a little differently. He says, if Nike Venisha Bo Shir Kedei Lotzeis Bo, it's kosher. That you need just the shear in order to be yotzei the mitzvah, but you don't need more than that. The Darke Moshe says that's what it sounds from Shubas Deshet, that even if you have miyuta esrog, it's kosher, as long as it's nishar bo kashir. So what does it mean, nishar bo kashir? So Magen Avraham quantifies it. Magen Avraham says you need a shear kibetza. That as long as you sell, that's the minimum size of an esrog. So as long as you have a shear kibetza, the minimum size of an esrog, that's fine. Rabbi Kivega just points out, it's very strange. Why would you need a shear minimum size of an esrog? The shear of a kibetza. Why is it that we said kibetza is the minimum size of an esrog? Where do we come up with kibetza? So first we thought maybe it's a din of hiddur. No, the Gemara rejected that. It's not a din of hiddur. It's gemar piri. That if it's less than a kibetza, then we assume that it was never a gemar pri. That it never ripened. Once the esrog is a kibetza, so then we know that it's a ripened esrog. But if you had an esrog that was much larger than the kibetza and you just took bites out of it, why would you need it to be a kibetza? You know that it was fully ripened. So Rabbi Kivager is troubled by this whole shear kibetza. Maybe the shear should be minkara l'kichasa, that as long as it's recognizable that you're taking it, that it's not like the peppercorn, which we said is too tiny, that you don't have minkara l'kichasa. Maybe it could be smaller than a kibetza, as long as minkara l'kichasa. Unclear exactly what that shear is going to be, but it seems from Rabbi Kivager, as Rabbi Kivager points out, it seems that a kibetza is an odd shear to use over here, considering what the svara of a kibetza was. Okay, So at the two dots now, esrog katas. We said speaking of the minimum size of an esrog, amarav mar papa kamachlokas kan. Just like we have machlokas whether the minimum size of an esrog is an egos or a kibetza, kach machlokas ba'avanim ukrazalos. We have a similar machlokas by the stones that they would use as toilet paper on Shabbos in Talmudic times. Detanya b'Shabbos gimel avanim ukrazalos mutlachnas lebeis hakisei. On Shabbos, one is allowed to bring three avanim ukrazalos to the beis hakisei. For the sake of Kavod Abrios, you're allowed to carry them on Shabbos to the Beis HaKisei, so you don't have to worry about the Yisra Muktzah, you don't have to worry about the Yisra Muktzah Midrabanan, because B'makom Kavod Abrios, they weren't goes there, but it has to be a reasonable number, so you bring three of these rocks to the Beis HaKisei. The Kamashi run, how large are these rocks that you're going to use for wiping? So Meir Omer Ke'egos, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kebetza. Meir says up until the size of an egos, and Rabbi Yehuda says up until the size of a kebetza. Now over here it's talking about maximum size by Avanim Ukrazalos, not minimum size. But nevertheless, the numbers are the same in terms of what we call it, whether it's egos or kebetza. So that's why we mentioned it, that it's a parallel machlokas. Ubegadol Kadesh Yochas. Now when it comes to the largest size of an esrog, so that was machlokas Tanaim. Is it so? Rabbi Yehuda held that the largest size of an esrog is that you still need to be able to hold two in one hand, and if you can't hold two in one hand, that's problematic, because he was afraid that if it's any larger than that, when you have to switch hands with an esrog and lulav, you pick it up in the wrong hand, you're going to drop it and it's going to become puzzle. And Rabbi Yossi held, no, if you do echad b'shtei yadav, even if it's so gigantic that you need two hands to hold your single esrog, even that's going to be fine. So Tanya, I'm Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi brought a raya that he was correct, that you could have even a very, very large esrog, because Ma'aser Rabbi Kiva shabal the beis haknesses v'esrog al ksefo. Rabbi Kiva once showed up to shul carrying an esrog on his shoulder. It was too heavy to carry with his hands. He was carrying it over his shoulder. So obviously it was a very large esrog. Amar lo Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, Misham raya. Afim amar lo ein zahadar. When he came into shul, everyone said to him, "What are you doing? That's not hadar at all. You can't have such an esrog. So that's not a raya. You can't bring a raya from what somebody did. If everyone criticized him for it, they had a problem with it then also." Okay, new mishnah. You can only bind the lulav with the min of the lulav. Rameir holds even with some sort of string, you can bind it with anything. You don't need to use dafka, the min of the lulav. Amar Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir says, I'll prove to you that you don't need to use the min of a lulav to bind the lulav. Ma'aseh b'Anshei Yerushalayim, the story went with the Anshei Yerushalayim, shayu ogdin es lulavein b'gimonio shel zav. They would use gold strings to bind their lulav together. So Amar lo, the Chum said, b'mino ay ogdin es milamata. No, it's not a raya, because it was gold on the outside, but underneath those gold strings, they had regular min of the lulav, that they had lulav leaves tying the lulav together underneath the gold. You just didn't notice it underneath the gold, but they definitely had that Lamata, so that's not a raya. Rashi says they were oge the lulav bimino l'shei mitzvahs eged, and the gemonios shalzav milamala were l'noi, but were not for hechsher mitzvah. That was just for extra beauty. So that's why it's not a problem of a baltosif. So Sasemis points out, it sounds like from Rashi like the Rush who proves from the Mishnah that even if you say that when you take a min chamishi bizman a mitzvah, that it's a violation of baltosif. Even when you take it stam without kavanah l'shem mitzvah, but if you're mechavin l'shem something else, then it's not going to be a violation of Bal Tosif. So if you take these golden things in your bundle, but you're mechavin l'shem noy mitzvah, so you're not having kavanah l'shem the mitzvah itself, you're having kavanah that this should not be part of the mitzvah, but it'd be l'shem the noy mitzvah, so then it's not a violation of Bal Tosif. That's what you see, apparently, Shitas Rashi. And the Rush proves it from this mission. So Hashemus is docha the raya based on what Tosfos says in Lamed Aleph and Beis, that if you hold lulav ein tzarich eged, so in a way that the eged is put shelo kederech gidulo, then it's not a violation of Bal Tosif, because the eged is sideways and the minim have to be held kederech gidulo, so it wouldn't be Bal Tosif when you put it sideways. So it would turn out that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, where you already have the eged of the lulav bimino milamata for the mitzvah of eged, and you don't need another eged, so mail it's not a violation from Baal Tosef, even if it wasn't there l'shem nai, it wouldn't have to be dafka that it's there l'shem nai. It's just that you have it there already. You already have an eged before the gold, so mele, nothing else that you put on the outside is going to be defined as part of the eged of the lulav. Says Gemara, Amar Rava. So Rava said, afilu b'siv, afilu b'ikra d'dikla. You combine the lulav even with the siv and the ikra d'dikla, even these other parts of the palm tree which are not the lulav itself. Tosis points out it's a little bit difficult because in Maseches Pesachim, when the Mishnah lists the irakos that you could use for maror on Pesach, it lists charchavina as one of them, and the Gemara says that's atzavsa d'dikla, and Rashi says that means the siv hadekel. So it sounds like the siv Hadekel doesn't have a din of a tree at all. It has a din of zra'im. All the minim of mar are zra'im. They're not trees. So it's a little bit odd that would have a din of zra'im for marar and still be able to be considered the min of the lulav to tie the lulav together if it's the same thing. So Vamarava, my time is Rabbi Yehuda. What's the svar of Rabbi Yehuda? Why does he allow siv ikra didikla? Kasavra lulav tzarech eged. V'yimaisi mina akrina v'chamisha mini. Meaning, I'm sorry, why does he hold that you can't use other minim to tie the lulav? Because he holds lulav tzarech eged, and therefore the eged itself is part of the chefta shalulav. So if the eged itself is made of something else, it's a fifth min in the lulav, so that's problematic. Where do I know that siv and ikra didikla are part of the min of the lulav? So he's going to have a long answer, but the answer starts with titanya basukas teshu sukas shall call davar divra meir rabbi dormer in sukin oegas al badal minim shablulav. The answer is going to start with, we're not going to get to the answer yet, but it's based on what Rabbi Yehuda says in the context of his shita that you can only make a sukkah out of dal minim shablulav. Where Tosus points out, Rabbi Yehuda clearly rejects the drasha, they have to use psolas goren v'yekev. But he's mode that you cannot be mesachich with something that's mekabel tuma. So if you were to use the dal and minim shabluv to build a kli, you would not be able to be mesachich with that. Or to use peros, you would not be able to be mesachich with peros. So the achronim point out, what? Wait a second. Then you can't be misak with dal minim shabalulav. One of the minim is a pri. It's a fruit. An esrog is a fruit. It's makabal tuma. So what does he mean? But dal minim, it should be begimel minim shabalulav. So that's a major kasha on this Tosos over here. But Bez Hashem will pick up from that question tomorrow.